In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Tuesday, today the 28th day of June. Great as always to have you along, everybody. Here with your American politics public service announcement. We've got 20 days left until Republicans gather in Cleveland, Ohio for their convention. 27 days until the Democrats meet in Philadelphia and 133 days until Election Day. We provide those signposts because in the past couple of days, both major parties' presumptive nominees have given big economic policy speeches. Hillary Clinton yesterday and then Donald Trump today, in which he laid out an unusual platform for a GOP nominee. Very anti-free trade, very anti-globalization. We got Neil Irwin, a senior economics correspondent for The New York Times, on the line for a little bit of perspective on this. Neil, it's good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
This was a remarkable speech for a presumptive Republican nominee.
Yeah, this is a Republican nominee for president, most likely, saying, I am going to back away from these trade agreements. We're going to return to a world where there's lots of steel workers and we don't have as much international competition. And that's new territory.
He was fact-checked, I guess you could call it, or rebutted in real time by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, traditionally a Republican economic ally, by the National Association of Manufacturers, again, traditionally on the side of business. What do you make of that in terms of where this goes for the next 5 months till the election?
Well, what we're seeing is business interests, which are one of the core parts of the Republican constituency or the Republican coalition, are not at all sold on Donald Trump. And today's speech did nothing to change that. In fact, it exaggerated it. If you're a big multinational company, if you're based in the U.S. but trying to do business all over the world, a Trump presidency right now is quite scary for you. And so, you know, this is an odd situation in which a Republican nominee is trying to get to the left of on a business-related issue of the Democratic candidate, and business groups in Washington do not like it one bit.
Well, you mentioned the Democratic candidate, presumptive, I think we have to say. Secretary Clinton gave a speech yesterday in which she said, and I quote, "I'm going to appoint a trade prosecutor who will report to the president, so we are going to end the abuse of our market, our workers, and our people." One wonders whether she is perhaps a little late to the economic populism.
Yeah, it's really interesting seeing Hillary Clinton, who's, you know, her husband signed the NAFTA bill and made the North America Free Trade Agreement happen. You know, she's herself said she is against the current version of the Trans-Pacific Partnership that President Obama's advocating, that she wants to see some changes to NAFTA and take a more aggressive stance on trade. I think a lot of people are skeptical of just how anti-trade she would really be in office. I think the track record of Democrats, including Obama, including Bill Clinton, is that they talk a big game, but then they get into office and they are more accepting of trade agreements than they suggested.
A word here about the practicalities of Mr. Trump's speech, the idea that he is going to raise tariffs, the idea that he is going to pull us out of NAFTA. Can he, on day one, as they say, do all of that?
Not really. You know, the truth is, with something like NAFTA, this has been in place for 25 years. There's an entire elaborate set of trade relationships, supply chain relationships built up on both sides of both the U.S.-Canada border and the U.S.-Mexico border. These are not things that can change overnight. It would be very dangerous if you tried to change them overnight. You know, the question is he fundamentally selling a different era? Is he fundamentally mm-hmm. selling, we can bring manufacturing jobs back that are fundamentally driven by automation and not just trade? And the question is, you can have tougher negotiations, you can have, you know, threatened tariffs and retaliatory things, but is that going to change the basic reality that manufacturing jobs have been going away for a long time?
Just because the moment demands it, is there a parallel here to the Brexit vote and the idea of pulling up the drawbridge in some degree?
I think there absolutely is. I mean, there's just no question that both Trump and Brexit were driven by these deep senses of loss and a sense of a moment in time that has passed in which, you know, these countries, whether the U.S. or Britain, could kind of stand on their own and do their own thing. And there were good working class jobs in manufacturing. That era has passed. And we're seeing a really retaliatory push politically against that in both countries.
Neil Irwin is a senior economics correspondent at The New York Times. Neil, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kai.